Hello, hello. It's Andrew from XO Capital. And this week, Danny and I, well, Danny jumped on a Twitter Spaces that was just going to be me monologuing for about 30 minutes. So be grateful to him for jumping on with me and having a much more interesting discussion. We talk about the XO community, launching a course, motivations for picking a startup idea, when to quit, either on a product or even an acquisition. So I hope you enjoy.
Enjoy. How's it going?
Good. You know, tax season is never super fun, so I'm just going through our updated tax returns before sending them all away. You know, it's remarkable, like, this is maybe foolish of me, but financial accounting is different than tax accounting, even for public companies. So public companies can put out fully audited tax statements and then report something totally different to the government that they didn't pay taxes on, which I think is what a weird thing. Like Enron, for example, they put out audited financials and their auditors got in trouble for, you know, not actually auditing the financials. But what they were reporting to the government, had they reported those fake document, not fake documents, but those inflated numbers to the government, I think the government would have flagged it and said, this doesn't look right.
Yeah.
And prevented that fraud. I just don't know why there's a differentiation between financial accounting and tax accounting. But I couldn't think of anything more boring to talk about on a lovely Friday morning.
It's, if you know how to, or maybe this is like unrelated to the difference between those two, but it's wild the finagling that you can do and not, you know, not pass that line. You can stay very much in sort of the gray area, you know, when doing your taxes or when reporting your financials. It's pretty wild. It's like a superpower, I feel like.
Yeah, but easy to get wrong. I mean, our guys, I like them. They do a great job for us. But the first draft they sent back was like all wrong. The deductions were all wrong. And our stuff is super basic. I mean, there's like, you know, a bunch of different LLCs. So there's complexity there. But in terms of like the actual P&L, they're like really, really straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. But you guys caught it. It looked correct.
As long as it's showing a loss, it's correct.
Did you want to talk through something, or was there something on your mind?
I might invite, so Bex is in, he's listening right now, and he's in the first XO pod. So I thought I'd throw this together to see if anybody wanted to like chat or ask questions. The XO pod is interesting. We put together like a little acquisition group, and not to like buy businesses all as one person, but just to kind of have like a support group to go through and share deals, et cetera, et cetera. And it's going pretty well. It's like the most active. So it's all in Discord. Danny, you're in there too, right? You're seeing the activity. It's like it's active. Like people are interested in this. Just trying to find a way to provide value without having it have to be me, you know, in meetings or answering all of the stuff. Never really had any success launching a community, but it does seem like there's something interesting here. I don't know if we'll do another one. It's like much work, little pay, but it's kind of cool. Maybe make the whole XO Discord just paid and see what happens there. Then it might make more sense to say like, okay, the whole thing is paid. Now, once a week, I can do like a call where you and I are on there and people can just jump in like kind of webinar style and ask questions or whatever. And see if the value's there too. I've also kind of been like, I'm not really a course person, but I've been like recording some videos and creating little worksheets. And if I keep doing that over the next 12 weeks, that'll be like a 12 module, 6 hour quote unquote course. But I don't have the balls to sell a course. Balls isn't the right word. I feel weird about it. I don't know why. Have you ever created a course, Danny?
No, not as like a solo person. We've sold courses like as a part of when I ran like a consulting thing with like a team, and I wasn't like, I was an employee there, and we put out courses that we sold, but nothing like with me, the person behind it.
What's your feeling on courses? Do they work? Provide value? I've taken a couple, you know, like I forget when we all started, we took Ryan Culp's course.
Yeah. I haven't benefited from them. I also feel, and maybe this is like a arrogance, but like, I always feel like my situation or like the thing, the subject matter of like what I'm taking the course on is like, I'm like looking for something very specific, and generally those courses like never address them, or they address them too broadly, where like I feel like I didn't progress forward in any way. So like I generally enjoy like these like little groups where we can be very specific about questions or problems I'm trying to solve, versus like a, you know, courses like made to be broad strokes to get, you know, 100 people to buy it. It hasn't been very, very beneficial.
Yeah. The fascinating ones are, what's that guy's name? Justin, the LinkedIn guy.
Yeah. Justin Welsh.
Yeah, Justin Welsh. So, I mean, his whole thing is so interesting because he's like growing on social, talks about growing on social, and then has a course about how to grow on social. It feels so weird to have that be his whole thing, where he's just like, I just post about growing on social media, and then I grow on social media, and then I create courses about growing on social media. It's like, what, you know, it's like trying to squeeze a balloon. There's like, I took that one. I thought, you know, it had some interesting ideas, but generally speaking, it's all stuff that like doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? Like, this is what worked last year. This stuff changes so fast and it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. I think we had this talk before, and I feel like maybe this is maybe why I think like your blog and our blog on XO has seemingly benefited some folks, is like, it's not very helpful once you're successful, then you start like writing about it. Cause like for him, the whole premise was like, you just got to do it for a long time. Like his thing was like, I did it for a long time every single day. And then 2 years later, here it is. And then like kind of the message is like, you should just keep doing it every day, versus at XO, it's like, you know, we talk about it as we're doing it. And some weeks it's really, really sucky and really bad. And like some days it's good, and some days it's in between. And like that to me feels more, I don't know, something about that feels a little bit more authentic. And it's like emotionally and mentally like aligned with where maybe a lot of our community is. And so it feels more beneficial, or there's some alignment there, versus like, here's this guy who like, he says he generates, you know, millions of dollars a year being a solo entrepreneur, like doing this stuff. It's like, well, like how was it like, and what was it like in like, you know, day 30 of this process, you know, and you're like, you know, maybe 2000 days in. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. I invited everybody that's listening to speak, by the way. Kyle, if you want to jump in too, feel free. Or Siobhan, if you want to chat too. But yeah, that authenticity piece of like, not this is how you should do it, but like, this is how I am doing it. That subtle shift feels much more palatable in the context of a course.
Yeah. Which is maybe why like a community that's like a Discord that feels like more real time resonates, or feels, yeah, it feels more beneficial to me than a course. I bought like a couple courses that I think one out of the 10 I've purchased, I've gone all the way through. Other ones I've sort of like pick and chose different things, but yeah, hasn't been the most fruitful, I would say, the courses that I've taken.
Yeah, many of them are like those books that if you read the title, you kind of don't need to read the book. What's that one about checklists? You know, I don't know. It says something about checklists in the title. You're like, oh, okay. So like, use checklists. Thank you. I don't need to read the book. I get it.
You mean the checklist manifesto? Like how?
Yeah. The whole book about why you should use checklists. So just use checklists, then you don't have to read it. It's like the state of business books today.
Yeah. Yep.
But on the acquisition side, one of the posts I was thinking about doing that I haven't done yet, and I know Danny, you have some opinions on this, is like when to quit. You have an interesting relationship with quitting as even an option that I thought might be fun to chat through.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one. Happy to talk through it. The other thing that was sort of on my mind, this is sort of related to Journey a little bit, is like, and Journey is like a one-off. So for those, like, it's something that we're doing outside of our existing portfolio. Essentially, we bought something, an entirely separate entity, with the expectation that we look for a buyer in 12 to 24 months. And I was going through this like kind of like brain exercise of the business of like, how much of my time maybe should I be spending to like kind of set it up to look really great as a potential acquisition, versus like kind of the weeds and like grinding and doing the little incremental things to like move the needle a couple of steps. I feel like that mindset and just the tasks even look very different. And I was kind of just like going through and creating a list of like what sits on the left side of like, I'm going to hold this thing for 10 years. And like, what does that look like to do this versus like, hey, there's like a couple of broad strokes that I can apply that could make this really appealing to like a strategic buyer. And that could take up a lot of my time. So like, you know, what does that investment look like? So that was also another thing on my mind that, you know, maybe is worth talking about. But the quitting thing is, yeah, it's sure. You and I can go back and forth on it. Cause yeah, I do have I don't like quitting. That's the thing, I guess. And yeah, in the context of what we do, sometimes it's the right thing and honestly the best thing to do. And the faster you do it, it's the more beneficial thing, which it's a hard mindset for me to accept.
Yeah. Yeah. The quitting one, I think differently about it because I've launched maybe close to 50, and this is obviously stupid and says way more about me maybe than it should, but I've launched like 50 full end-to-end like SaaS products with a new domain auth, you know, automated billing, all of that stuff. And I'm maybe like 4 for 50, XO being one of them, all of XO being one of those four. That's it. So quitting for me is like, well, I didn't get any customers. I took a bet. I probably shouldn't have built the thing to start. That's maybe a mistake. But I mean, keep just like not quitting and keeping that something like that going when there's just no traction, nothing to hold on to. Quitting might be the best option. Like the best thing that can possibly happen is like a failure of a startup happens fast and immediately. Yeah. The worst thing is like what I've been through, which is you're slogging it out for 5 years and then it goes to zero. And you're like, oh, well, I could have gotten a whole PhD in the time that I basically created zero equity, zero value for myself. And yes, like experience and the learnings and all that stuff. But at a certain point, it's like, Jesus, I'm tired of learning. Let's start earning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for us, when we buy something and we have a thesis about what we're going to do with it and we play that out and it doesn't work and we have, you know, potentially other constraints like outside investors, right? So for the one Danny's talking about, that was for Flip Fund One. So the mandate is 12 to 24 months. We're going to try and double the business and sell it, even if there's still some money left on the table. It's a quick in, quick out. That was the pitch. That was the path of least resistance for me to raise the amount that we raised. So that's what it ended up being, regardless of like how I feel about that or how I would have liked it to be. That's sort of what it is. So yeah. And in that scenario, we can also recycle the cash. So if we bought something and it was bad, we could try and sell it, or it was bad for us, we could try and sell it in 3 months and go take another swing. And so the quitting thing, I don't even know if quitting is the right word, but if we bought something that was not a great deal for us, or we were wrong about something, or the market changed, I don't see any shame in saying, well, you know, that one didn't work, move on. It doesn't feel like that's necessarily it is a failure, right? It wasn't successful, but I don't feel a need to, let's say we bought something and we lost 100 grand. I don't need to go make that 100 grand on that same deal that we just lost that on, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you lose money on a stock, you don't try and like, oh, well, I need to make, you know, $8 more per share on that stock back because I just lost that there. You're like, yeah, I have a portfolio. Maybe I'll go buy more Nvidia, which everyone should have done 8 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't necessarily perfectly in line, but I had a question kind of about like your experience building the 50. I guess, what was like the motivation for like building them? And maybe I'm being like too, I don't know, like emotional, like focusing on kind of the emotional side of like building and being an entrepreneur. But like, yeah, what was the motivation or like, and you know, for the businesses that you built, like were any of them built because you like, or how did you decide what to build? Like, were you passionate about something or did you just feel like, hey man, here's a problem that exists. Looks like there's a market for it. Let me just go and try to quickly build something and see if it takes off.
For the ones that worked or for the ones that didn't work?
Maybe for the ones that worked.
For the ones that worked. So XO's worked, Supersend's worked, Cold Email Studios worked, and the computer vision company I sold worked. Those were all just straight opportunistic. It wasn't like I had a deep passion about the problem. It wasn't even, they weren't even problems I had. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, I was scratching my own itch. All of that advice like doesn't really speak to me very much. And then like the 45 other projects were just like, I don't know, maybe this will work. Like Cold Email Studio, for example, company I was at for 5 years, just went to zero. I didn't have a paycheck and I started a services thing to like pay rent. You know what I mean? It was like practical and I was like, oh, maybe this will work. And I cold emailed 10 people, got 2 meetings. And like, I think both of them paid like $500 a month or something. I was like, oh, okay, sick. I do this now. Right. It wasn't any more sophisticated than that. And then a lot of the other projects are like, it varies from, I have had this problem. I am trying to scratch my own itch. Turns out nobody cares that I have this problem. Nobody else seems to. maybe I'm early. Maybe I'm late. Maybe it's too small. I don't know what it is. It could be my timing. It could be my reach. It could be my audience. All those things are factors, right? It's not to say like when a business fails for you, that's not to say like the business can't work. It's just you, the market, the timing, your reach, how you went about it. You know, your manifestation of the problem into some kind of solution that made sense to you, but that, you know, maybe didn't make sense to anybody else. But yeah, I generally don't have like a deep emotional connection to any of the things I built, other than the one that I spent like 5 years on. That one was heart-wrenching, you know. I think, what is it? The first one hurts the worst. There's some saying about love. The first heartbreak is the worst, something like that. So that one was like that for me. And then after that, I was like, oh, well, if I don't get so emotionally invested in these things, they're in some ways easier.
Yeah.
The big transition for me wasn't like, it wasn't the idea or like my relationship to the idea. It was actually involving some like bringing people like you in, Danny, and being like, you know, full autonomy, or like, you know, Mikey as CEO and just saying like, all right, you know, I trust you. That was actually a really big, that was harder for me than the changing the emotional relationship I have with the things I'm building.
Yeah. I think, I mean, there's no right or wrong way. I do like somewhat envy that. And I think it's sort of also maybe like that's like a part of you, who you are as a person. And it kind of translates into the way you build businesses and the way you build business, which I think is really great. And I'm super thankful. And I think for the three of us with Henry, like the fact that we are very different and we like think about businesses very differently it's an advantage versus all three of us like swimming in the same lane. Because yeah, yes. For me, like the problem for me that can be good or bad in certain situations, it's like with the first business, like it was a problem that I had, but like I thought through the problem for about like two years, and like I solved it at the business I was at because we were like a sales consulting company, and so we were like providing a service to solve for it, and it just kept like, and I just couldn't get over the problem, and then like just continued to be something like that I thought about, and then finally like I had an opportunity to go build it, but like, you know, it was like, and then, you know, and then I built it, it didn't work, like I couldn't get as many customers to like feel like, hey, this is something we could do. And then we spent like another 3 months like pivoting and doing something else. And then it became something. But like, you know, I spent like so much time on it. And to be honest, like that, like I can't think of ideas very quickly. Like it needs to be something that like I just like obsess over for a long time for me to be like, okay, like I know how to solve this thing. And I'm gonna go and attempt to do it. And so I don't know why I'm that way, but it's just the way that I've been wired. And that's why I think it's interesting for me to like think about quitting as something that is like advantageous for us as a business, because there are clearly times when it is.
Yeah, but I think that tension and those differences make us stronger as a group, because I'll look at any speed bumps and headwinds and I'll be like, oh, fuck it, ditch it, kill it, sell it. You know what I mean? I'm out, right? And you'll be like, wait, hold on. I'm just like digesting what this even is. I think that's like it's a really healthy balance.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But in terms of success, there's no real right answer. like we were having a call, you and I, Danny, the other day with a group that had built a relatively large business. And the meeting was so slow. I thought I was in slow motion. Like I can't stand. I feel like I'm living an entire life between sentences as these guys put their thoughts together. I'm like, Jesus Christ, just like out with it, gentlemen. Like just say the thing. And, but they had, if I had had that conversation with them without knowing their background, I would have 100% written them off as like too slow, uninvestable. No, thank you. You guys aren't going to get anywhere. Cause they can't even like, you know, they can't get out of their own way with any kind of urgency. And it turns out like I'm wrong. They've built a much bigger business than I have ever have. And yeah, so there's really no, I don't think there's an advantage. I guess there are advantages and disadvantages to both sides, but no, there's no like clear winner here.
Yep. Yep. I agree. Yep. Yeah. It was calming. That call was like a kind of lulled me to a nice sleep.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, what else?
Well, we've only got 4 minutes left. I got to jump in 3 minutes, but I think we'll wrap up here. Maybe next time we could talk about the difference between like your comments on Journey about the difference between needing to sell it in 12 to 24 months, like a relatively short time horizon, and what those constraints do to the decisions you make as an operator versus something that you're going to hold forever. And yeah, how those might change those decisions, because there are definitely things you can do to package an asset to make it look more attractive to buyers that don't really add enterprise value. And I wouldn't, it's not deceitful. You know what I mean? It's not deceptive. It's just different than if you were taking a 5 to 10 year time horizon and saying, we're just going to hold this thing forever and we're going to cash flow it. And we'll always take the long road. Whether that's a simple engineering feature where there's two paths, there's generally a short path that gets the thing done next week. And then the longer path, the quote unquote right answer that won't have any technical debt, but might take a month or two. You would always take that second path with that longer time horizon. Whereas with a 2 year hold period or less, you generally take the shorter path every time.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe next week, if we do this, I'll have some like specific things that are on my list of like, here are three things I would spend, I'm thinking about spending my time on, and here's like these three other ones, and how I'm working through like deciding what to focus on with the, you know, 12 to 24 month horizon coming up. And maybe we can just kind of talk through those together. Maybe that's helpful or useful.
Yeah, I like that. I think maybe we'll just shell out for Zoom webinars so people can like raise their hands and stuff. I think we're the only 8 people on Twitter anymore, so might be time to move off.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, this was fun. All right, well, have a good one.
You too. Cheers, everyone.